This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. We'll talk about, we talked about the radicalism of the Democrat voter. What's up with the GOP voter? Let's compare and contrast there. We are going to discuss what's going on in Spain. Not that you care about Spain, but it's pretty good evidence of something we've talked about before. We'll discuss that at length. We will make fun of Michelle Obama. We'll do some emails. All that, so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. And another reminder to you that tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, all 3 hours, I answer your questions. Email them now. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. So, we talked earlier, we were talking about Jasmine Crockett being, as of right now, the faraway winner in the potential Democrat primary for Senate in the state of Texas. And we discussed the Democrat voter. We're always pointing fingers at this Democrat politician and that Democrat politician. But Democrat politicians are not more radical than Democrat voters. Poll after poll after poll, primary after primary after primary shows that. Now, why don't we have that? I don't know about you, but I could go for more GOPers who are as far to the right as Jasmine Crockett is to the left. Why don't we have that? The Democrat representative in their city, in their state, in the House, in the Senate, the Democrat representative accurately reflects the Democrat voter. The GOP representative does not. How in the world is John Thune a United States Senator? John Cornyn, Lindsey Graham, Bill Cassidy, Mike Rounds, Curtis, I could go down the James Lotie Lankford. You've heard me rant on these red state senators. How is James Lankford a senator from one of the reddest states in the union? Have you ever been to Oklahoma? I spent a lot of time in Oklahoma. By the way, it's freaking wonderful. Everyone calls it flyover country. Oklahoma is the bomb. Don't shake your head, Chris, you born and bred Texan. There's nothing wrong with Oklahoma. Gosh, you Texans are so mean to them. I know it can be flat. There are fun things that can be flat. Nebraska's flat and it's fun. Kansas, same. Omaha, have you been to Omaha? Omaha's a good city. Omaha's a good city. Eddie, don't distract me, Chris. By the way, what is up with your hair again? Do you not own a brush? I'll buy you one. I don't know what that is. Like, at this point in time, I want to send you to a dog groomer. That's what it looks. Anyway, we're not going to get distracted with Jewish producer Chris right now. Why does the Democrat representative accurately reflect the Democrat voter and the GOP representative does not? It's quite simple. They show up. The national average differs from place to place and race to race. That rhymed. That was awesome. But the national average is that half the Democrat voters show up and vote in their primaries. One-fourth of the GOP does. 50% of their voters show up for a primary. 25% of our voters do. That is a disgrace. And so let's talk about things, some of the nitty-gritty details of that, because when I say things like that, like South Carolina, I dog on South Carolina because your senators suck. People will email in and they'll accurately say, well, Jesse, Democrats vote in our primaries. We have an open primary. Democrats go vote in the primaries. They'll vote for the more moderate candidate. That's how Lindsey Graham is still a United States senator from one of the reddest states. Okay, I got that. So how do you change that? Well, the state legislature of South Carolina, they're the ones who can change that. All right, let's identify where the problem lies. Okay, that's where the problem lies. So a fairly obvious point would be, Lindsey Graham, a United States senator, he's going to carry a lot of political weight in the state of South Carolina. So it's obvious Lindsey Graham doesn't want to close the primaries. The open primary system is the reason he gets to continue to be Operation Midnight Hammer in Washington, D.C. So we have to change the state legislature. Now, that's when it starts to feel too ominous and like too much work, right? Okay, well, I want Lindsey Graham out. To get Lindsey Graham out, we have to get the legislature to change the law. To get the legislature to change the law, well, that means we have to change the legislature. Well, now that means I have to whip votes in a primary. This sounds like a multi-year process. Yes! It is a multi-year process to change your government, to change my government. How many times have we said this? We have to remember, and I have to remember this too. Saving a country or losing a country is not an event. It is a process. It is not an event. It is a process. And we want it to be an event when we win, don't we? Donald Trump just won. We have the House. We have the Senate. Surely all our problems are solved. No, that helped. Certainly a lot better than if Dome was president right now, but it's a process that was one critical step of many critical steps that need to be taken to change the country. You want to change your United States senator in South Carolina? Got to change the legislature. You want to change the legislature? You have to get involved in the primary process. And that, let me encourage you with this. We went all the way from the United States Senate down to the primary of your state legislature. And this applies to a lot of states, so don't think this is just South Carolina. Now, that sounds like a lot of work. You're not wrong. Sounds like it's going to take time. You're not wrong. But few people vote in those primaries. Now, that's sad. That's not what we want. But if you, talking to you, what if you could rally some votes? What if maybe you were that candidate to run in that primary? Or you found a good candidate to run in that primary. Maybe you donated some money if you have it. Maybe you donated some time. Maybe you were texting, mailing, knocking on doors. These primaries for state House and state Senate seats, these primaries can be won because nobody shows up to vote. The bad news is nobody shows up to vote. But guess what? The good news is nobody shows up to vote. You can win a spot on that school board because nobody shows up to vote. You can win a spot on the county board of supervisors, the water board. You can win a primary in a state legislature because nobody shows up to vote. That's a good point, Chris. A town of 100,000, you know how many people are going to show up to vote? About 1,000, maybe two. That means you, in a roundabout way, you can get rid of Mike Rounds. You, in a roundabout way, can get rid of Mitch McConnell. I know he's retiring, but you know what I mean. You have the power. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. We have to learn to fall in love with the process. But Democrats, as horrible and evil as their politicians may be, Democrat voters have figured it out long, long ago. They figured out if they work, if they put in the work, they knock on the doors, they put out the mean Facebook posts, they're sending text messages to their friends. If they put in the work, eventually their party will accurately reflect them and their values. They figured this out years ago. They have fallen in love with the process. They've fallen in love with the work. They have put in the work. And now, Jasmine Crockett voters get Jasmine Crockett the representative. Ilhan Omar voters get Ilhan Omar the representative. Los Angeles voters get Karen Bass as their mayor. They know if they put in the work and they show up, their politicians will accurately reflect them. We sit and we beat our heads against the wall because John Loser Cornyn is a senator if from the state of Texas when we could have the most blood red senators in the history of mankind. Myself included, have not done enough to make sure that happens. That's a fact. Now, speaking of that Senate primary in Texas, I think the whole country's interested in getting rid of John Cornyn and replacing him with somebody decent. Let's do a little rewind to last month, shall we? Because you, me, we had a little talk about that. And there's some evidence coming out today that the old Oracle was right, Chris. Oracle Beaver Slayer nailed it again. Before we do that, let's get your cell phone switched. I got this email, blessed me to no end. You remember that campaign Pure Talk was doing leading up to Independence Day, where they were sending out American flags to veterans? Listen to this. Tell me if Verizon ever has done something like this, AT&T, T-Mobile. Jesse, I'm a Pure Talk customer. When I heard you mention their promotion to nominate a veteran to receive an Allegiance flag, I nominated one of my best friends to receive one. After his service in the Navy, he became an NYPD officer and served during 9/11 at Ground Zero along with my husband. He received his flag and was so happy with it. It was presented beautifully. Had I not listened to your show, I wouldn't have known about the promotion. I just wanted to thank you and Pure Talk. Her name is Sherry. Said I can use her name. Don't thank me. I didn't do it. Pure Talk did it. That's the kind of company I want to do business with. They're on the same 5G network. You're not going to sacrifice service. You want to patronize a company like that and you'll spend less? Pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. It's time to switch. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Gosh, it is so good to be here to answer the question that I'm sure is burning on your mind. No, I have not actually killed any of the beavers yet. I am biding my time. When you know beavers the way I do, you bide your time and you wait for the right time to strike. That's what I'm doing now. I will keep you updated every step of the way. And remember, Jewish producer Chris looked it up, which of course he did. $100 a pelt. $100 a pelt. First one I kill, I'm making a hat. Second one, taking the family to Red Lobster. Jesse, you claim that Chris is real, right? Well, I think I'm onto your scam. Your Chris, if he exists, is actually a 65-year-old geezer who grew up in the 60s, 70s, or 80s. I find it hard to believe that some filthy Gen Z hairbag has the musical taste or refinement to bump into segments with Zeppelin, Purple, Sabbath, etc. He says, best bumper music on the radio. Prove me wrong, Mr. Oracle. No, I don't have to prove you wrong. Listen, there's something I learned long, long ago. Really, right about the time I started working with Chris and now Corey. If you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. You can't bank on Corey making a contribution or Chris making a contribution. You'll be waiting till you're dead. It doesn't work that way. So the music, it was quite simple. I took the... All right, well, let's just talk for a second. All right, pause. You know how hesitant I am to brag on myself. It's not something I like. It's not something I do. But my musical taste is spectacular. At one point, remember CDs? I know every kid listening doesn't even know what that is, but I swear on my life, children, there were these CDs and they contained music. And you didn't just get to pick one song. That wasn't a thing that happened. You had to buy an entire album. So when the Beach Boys came out with an album, you had to buy the whole thing. You get me. CDs. Have you ever seen one of the big CD booklets? I don't even know how many they held. I would guess 200, but that's a guess. The huge booklets of CDs. Well, you know I didn't grow up with a lot of money. We weren't poor. I don't want to act like we were starving, but I certainly didn't grow up with a lot of money. So A CD used to cost $15-16. You couldn't just go out and buy every CD you wanted. So you had to, after you got summer jobs and after you did certain things, you had to be very selective about the CD you purchased, because I couldn't afford to go in and just buy five CDs. You could buy one, maybe two. A lifetime of work. A lifetime of work. I created the greatest CD book in human history. And the reason I created the greatest CD book in human history is I tend to bore really easily. It's a horrible character trait, but it worked really well here. So my musical taste is all over the place. If you could look at my phone, you would see things that would baffle you. You know, I have classical music on my phone that I listen to. Isn't that nerdy? I have classic rock, as you probably have figured out. I love that. I have all kinds of classic country. Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash. I have worship songs. I have Irish drinking songs on my phone. I have musical renditions of 4th of July music. I have Christmas music that's amazing. Neil Diamond made the greatest Christmas album ever, I should point out. I have stuff. I have rap. I don't really listen to that anymore. Old rap. I'm talking, you know, 80s, 90s rap. I have rap on there. You name it, I have it. So a lifetime of collecting these CDs, I had the greatest CD book in human history. Whatever you were in the mood for, I had it. You want to jam to Zeppelin? Let's jam to Zeppelin. You name it, I had it. Parked my truck one night in Tucson, and like a fool, I left my CD book in the trunk. By this point in my life, I'd never been robbed, so I guess I was just naive. Next morning, I go unlock my truck and I open up the driver's side door. I open up the driver's side door and I notice there's broken glass in my truck. My heart sinks. Chris said you didn't notice before you got in. It was the passenger side window and I approached the truck from the driver's side. I just didn't look, okay? But immediately when I saw the broken glass, I knew what had happened. My heart sank. Before I even looked up, before my eyes looked up and saw the busted out window, I knew what had happened. They busted out the passenger side window and they stole the greatest collection of CDs in the history of mankind. That's right, Chris. I had one thing of value and they took it. And I didn't have any money at this point in time. It's not like I could just go buy and replace it. I wasn't dead broke. I was working construction, but I couldn't afford to go drop, I mean, what, $1,000? I don't know how much it was. It was a lot. So I've compiled the greatest collection of music at one point in time. And like all true champions, I didn't stay down. I immediately began to build a new list. That list, when we started the Jesse Kelly Show 6.5 years ago, that list was presented to Jewish producer Chris, and that's why the bumper music jams, because it's my list. Chris makes very few contributions, and what he does is not any good. That's the truth. Also, the truth is your dog doesn't get nutrition from rough grains. That's the truth. Our dogs die too early. All dog food is what? What color is it? Brown. Are brown things dead or are brown things alive? Brown things are dead. Dog food is dead. They have to kill everything in dog food at the factory in order to make it last longer on the shelf. So you think you're buying Muffy the special beef blend? All the beef's gone. It's empty calories. Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food so your dog can live longer, have a shinier coat, better breath, better energy. The differences will be noticeable in your dog, young or old. Keep your dog alive longer. They will give you a free jumpstart trial bag. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Get your dog nutrition for the first time ever. Now, let's go to Spain. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Turn this off, Chris. Turn this off. See, this is what happens when Chris tries to contribute to the bumper music. It immediately goes downhill and everyone gets upset. And then it reflects bad on me. It reflects bad on me. This was not in the CD booklet. I don't even know what that crap was. Chris, keep that off. Now, sorry, I lost my temper there for a second. Remember last month when I said this? That these polls are so lopsided is doing something that's huge. It's keeping Donald Trump out of the race. Meaning, Donald Trump is not going to endorse John Cornyn when every poll shows John Cornyn losing by double digits. Trump's historically bad endorsements of GOP candidates oftentimes tracks with the fact that Trump loves frontrunners. He loves winners. It's not necessarily ideological for him. If you're winning in the primary, he'll want to be seen as helping you win, associated with a winner, and he will endorse you. Even if he's tempted to endorse John Cornyn, and John Thune is trying to get him to do so, even if he's tempted to, there's no way that Donald Trump is throwing his name, his weight, behind a candidate who's going to lose. Then that would mean he's going to lose. It's just not going to happen. So the bad polling keeps Trump out of the race on Cornyn's side. At this point in time, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump endorses Paxton. Remember when I said that last month? Oh, just let me stretch out here before I give you the latest on that. This reporting is from Jake Sherman. President Trump met last night with John Thune and the Senate Leadership Fund officials in the Oval Office. They spoke about Senate races and about John Cornyn's race against Ken Paxton. The White House said they are letting the race play out a bit before making a decision about how or whether to engage. They want to see if the double-digit polling gap closes. Wow, that sounds familiar. Hey, Chris, that sounds familiar. Where did you hear that before, Chris? Before the reporting today, who's the one who said that's what was happening? It wasn't Clay and Buck, Chris. It was me. And I just played it for everybody. I told you the Oracle knows what's up. Look, everybody made Donald Trump made a bunch of people mad. I think it was last night because he endorsed Lindsey Graham, which I don't know why everyone's mad. He endorsed Lindsey Graham a long time ago. He took some stupid picture with Lindsey Graham and endorsed him and talked about how great Lindsey Graham is. And what? Okay, Donald Trump is putrid at primaries. He is, because he endorses frontrunners. Whoever is leading in the polls, he just goes and endorses them, wants to be seen as a winner. It's not ideological, and in fact, it bites him in the rear end a lot. It bites all of us in the rear end a lot, but nobody's perfect. He's great at a lot of things. He's horrible in primaries. I said John Cornyn was going to get Donald Trump's endorsement because John Thune is pressing Donald Trump hard for that endorsement unless the polls are so lopsided against John Cornyn that Trump doesn't want to hop on board with a sinking ship. It is the double-digit polling gap that is keeping Donald Trump out of this race. And John Cornyn, he officially has chapped lips from all the butt he has been kissing trying to get that endorsement ever since then. John Cornyn, who works against MAGA, who works against America First, who works against you day and night, cannot stop talking about how Trumpy he is and me and Trump and Trump's border wall and Trump and me and me and Trump and me and Trump. He is desperately trying. And John Thune is desperately trying. Now, maybe you're thinking that doesn't carry much weight. Listen, there is something, I mean, everything's a give and take. And there's always a game behind the game. Remember this. Donald Trump needs the United States Senate for things. He does. John Thune is the Senate Majority Leader. John Thune is not powerless at all. Now, I don't think John Thune would be dumb enough to go kind of give Trump an ultimatum. Hey, you endorsed Cornyn or else we won't let your judicial nominees through or something. I'm not saying that. But It helps John Thune to be on Donald Trump's good side, and it helps Donald Trump to be on John Thune's good side. John Thune walking into the Oval Office saying, "Mr. President, we really need you to endorse this rhino where he's going to lose," is a big deal. And yes, Chris, go ahead and play it. John Cornyn running an ad every other day trying to earn that endorsement.
In President Trump's first term, he made America great, and Texas Senator John Cornyn had his back.
And we're especially grateful to your wonderful senators, John Cornyn and Ted Cruz.
This is John Cornyn. It's an honor to represent Texas in the U.S. Senate. In President Trump's first term, I was Republican whip, delivering the votes for his biggest wins. Now, I'm running for re-election and asking for your support, so President Trump and I can pick up where we left off.
Right now, if the polling remains how it is, I think Donald Trump stays out of it. And this is a huge deal because it gives us an opportunity to take a scalp. It is hard to remove a sitting senator. There's so much money and power behind them. They get in that swamp, they pile up millions of dollars in campaign war chests, and they buy enough influence to win. It's hard, really, really, really hard to primary a senator. And now Ken Paxton ran into some personal things. I'm not going to go into it, but there's a chance those poll numbers may close a little bit. If the poll numbers close a little bit, John Thune gets in Donald Trump's ear. As you know, as you've seen, Donald Trump has no problem endorsing the biggest swamp rats in the world. We are not out of the woods yet. We do not have our scalp yet. We have a long way to go to get that scalp. And this is important for the entire country. I'm not even talking about Texas. I'm not talking about this because I live here. I'm talking about this because there is an opportunity to do something that is very, very rare. Bounce a sitting senator in the primary. That is so hard to do. We have it presented to us right now on a silver platter. If we can make sure Ken Paxton doesn't screw it up and Donald Trump doesn't screw it up, and we might have a chance. We might have a chance to finally dump one of these filthy swamp rats. But we got work to do. All right. I promised we were going to Spain. I've never been to Spain, but I kind of like the music. What, Chris? I bet you don't even know who that band was, do you? One of the great, I shouldn't say one of the great, one of the underrated bands of all time. Go ahead, Chris. I'll give you a second. I'll tell you what, I'll give you to the end of Frito Bandito to come up with it. I'm going to see you if you try to look it up.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito, hey, I like Fritos corn chips, I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips, I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Okay, Chris. What's your guess? Please tell me you didn't just say Santana while the music was playing. That's your official guess is Santana? You are so embarrassing. The band is Three Dog Night. Totally underrated. In fact, I want to come back with that song, Never Been to Spain, because we're going to Spain next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I kind of like the music too on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, you can email the show your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email those in to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I am going to get to a bunch of emails. I'm going to get to this story briefly about the Secret Service, but I just wanted to touch on something that I'm sure went right by you because who cares about Spain, right? But the headline, this is from Not the Bee, the Spanish House votes overwhelmingly to jail pastors who teach the Bible. The vote was 311 to 33. According to the law, if a pastor tries to help someone repent of sodomy or counsels a trans person in a non-affirming manner, they can be thrown into prison. I brought this up just for this reason. You may not consider yourself to be at war. You may not. Maybe you don't want to be. You probably don't want to be. I hope you don't want to be. Maybe you don't want to be at war. You don't get to make that call. I am sorry. I wish it was. I wish everybody had to sign on to fight a war. That's not how wars go. If one side decides it's war, then it's war. The other side doesn't get a say in the matter. That's a fact. And the LGBTQ demon mob, they are at war with you. You can dislike that. It can make you feel icky, tired. That's fine. They are at war with you. And only one of you is going to win. And if you choose not to fight, not to engage, you don't want to appear mean. Well, I want to be nice. I want to be tolerant. I want to be... Then you will lose. And when you will lose everything. Just remember that. Spain's gone through this kind of thing before. It wasn't specifically the LGBTQ Air Force mob, but they went through this exact kind of thing before. And they had to fight a civil war to get it stopped because the communists were executing the priests and gang raping the nuns. That's what happens when good people decide they're not at war. The communists are. They always are. They are not politically different. They don't just vote different than you. They are fighting a revolution against you. They will do everything they can to try to hide that fact for as long as possible, but they are fighting a war, and it is against you. Keep that in mind, please. Jesse, let's do some emails. The subject of this one is BLTs. Prepping for the first BLTs of the season from our garden tomatoes. Of course, we skip the lettuce because that's trash and a waste of space. What are your thoughts on BLTs? And are you on board with the hippies like Chris who add avocado? Oh, wait, he can't have them. Ha ha, sorry, Chris. Anyway, appreciate you and your insight. I would praise the show more, but I know you already know how great it is. His name is Chuck. Okay, Chuck, so you know how willing I am to offend people? It's not a thing that bothers me at all. I'm just naturally an offensive person. I get that from my father. But I'm going to actually be a little bit careful with how I say what I'm about to say. And this is the reason why. The garden thing. Ob has been trying to get a garden going at the house for years. Again, you know how healthy she is. She wants to grow berries and jalapenos and mint and all these things. And she was swinging and missing forever. She'd get a little of this and a little of that, then the bugs would get it, or this would get it, or that to get it. And now, and I should note that I made fun of her all the times it failed. I'm that type of person. But now, she finally figured it out, and she has her garden rolling. And she's so proud, and she should be. And I'll be honest, it's kind of nice to have fresh mint and fresh stuff like that. She made her homemade pesto with a jalapeno in it. She made a spicy pesto. Oh, Chris, it was so freaking good. She made this spicy chicken pesto pasta. Gosh, it was delicious. Anyway, quit distracting me. I say that because I don't want to insult your garden. I'm happy you... And the missus have a garden. And don't lie, Chuck. I know it was your wife. You didn't do anything in the garden. Guys can't garden. But tomatoes are putrid. I love BLTs. As long as you take off the L and the T. I grew up eating bacon sandwiches. All you need is bread, bacon, and mayo. And never one time in my life when my mom, when I would stay home from school because I was sick, my mom would cut them into fours for me and she'd bring me these little bacon sandwiches. Never one time when I was eating my bacon sandwiches from mom did I say, wow, that could really use a tomato. It never even occurred to me. Why would you take something as glorious as a bacon sandwich and add a salad to it? What, Chris? What? But I hate all vegetables? You know what? Not true. I eat onions. I love onions. Don't shake your head like it. Every time I bring that up, you say it, act like it doesn't count. Is an onion not a vegetable? What about carrots? I don't say I like all vegetables. I'm not some freak. No, I don't like all. Yeah, no, I like onions and mushrooms. I'm a big mushroom fan. Well, kind of. Mushrooms can be hit or miss. I think mushrooms are a vegetable, Chris. They said, no, they keep changing the definition. It's just like they do with Pluto. One day it's a planet. The next day it's not a planet. Then it's a planet again. Make up your mind. I consider mushrooms to be a vegetable, and I eat those. Oh, another thing. Refried beans. I like refried beans. Don't laugh. Why are you laughing? That counts. Don't tell me I don't like vegetables and then ignore all the vegetables I bring up to you that I do like. I like onions, I like refried beans, and I like mushrooms. It's not that I dislike all vegetables. And get this. I don't want to sound fruity.
Why are you gay?
I've grown to love a wedge salad. Did you know that? A wedge? I know I like what's on the salad, Chris. Everybody likes what's on the salad. Nobody likes the crappy lettuce, but I used to be a big toss salad guy. No more. Now, I prefer a wedge. I want my blue cheese chunkies. I want my bacon on there. Ha! Sorry, Chris. I like a wedge salad. I'm not even interested in a toss salad anymore. Not even interested. We have another hour. Let's talk about the Secret Service suspending people. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.